Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, verses 15 through 20. It's found on page 1136 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15. Be careful then, says the Apostle Paul, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I'm going to open with a question this morning. This will probably get a good reaction. Well, maybe not a good reaction. I don't know. I'm going to ask you, are you woke? I didn't say if you were awake. I said, are you woke? Because that's, of course, one of the newest participles that is sweeping our nation. And what it really means is, are you aware of social issues? Are you well informed? And lately, this word woke has become a word of action against such things as police brutality, systemic racism, the industrial prison complex. I'm not sure what that means, except that it's become an industry to put people in prison. I don't know if there's any precedents in world history for that. A woke person is someone who begins thinking critically about their society, critically about how things are done. Now, I don't know about you, when I hear this, I want to say to a, well, as Christians, we are always woke, we are always awake, hopefully, to the social situation around us. And hopefully we do keep ourselves well informed about social issues, and we can say that this is wrong, because we know the difference between right and wrong. It's spelled out to us in our Bibles. But being woke, being aware, is different than being wise. I've seen a lot of people in the news lately who have, quote unquote, been woke, but haven't been very wise in how they've try to change our social situation. What is wisdom? I think that little verse from 2 Kings that we read is the very essence of it. He asked God, I'd say Solomon did, Solomon asked God for an understanding heart so that he could be a wise ruler, a discerning, understanding heart. I submit to you that that is the Christian's version of being woke, having a discerning, understanding heart toward our neighbors, our nation, the world. Solomon chose a discerning, understanding heart over all of the other things that he could have asked for. Riches, long life, the death of his enemies. And he had a lot of enemies. If you actually read 2 Kings or 1 Kings and carry it on through, Solomon had a lot of enemies at first. A lot of people were going to claim that throne if he turned out to be a weakling. And let's call a spade, Solomon had a lot of them executed. He had a lot of enemies, but he didn't ask for any of those things. He asked for a discerning, understanding heart. I coupled that with that phrase from Book of Proverbs that I read a while ago for the children. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Awe is a proper regard for God, because God is not human. God is our creator. God is eternal. God is a spirit. And God is love. A purest kind of love that we can only aspire to, the kind of love that put Jesus Christ on the cross on our behalf. Wisdom, then, is discerning God. Our discerning hearts know, without a doubt, that God loves us, that God wants only good for us. Our discerning heart knows to seek the will of God and to be pleasing unto God, because God has been so blessed, so has blessed our lives so very much. So we seek wisdom, but how does that play out in the Christian life? That's when Paul's letter to the Ephesians comes into the picture. The first thing that Paul says, and it so applies, I've got to own this too. Paul says, walk not as fools, but as wise. How many here could have done things in their past that would think we'd be labeled as a fool? I put up my hand first. We are always, as a people, I think it was Matthew said during the children's sermon, you know, that you make mistakes. And if you're wise, you learn from those mistakes. Unfortunately, some of us, you know, we have to put our finger in the flame more than once before we learn. I can be guilty of that. Robert Fulghum, the writer that everyone fell in love with some time ago, he wrote about everything that I needed to know I learned in kindergarten. He wrote another book. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I just had to buy that book when I saw it on the shelf. It was on fire when I lay down on it. And the crazy thing about that, the title of that book is that it's a true story. That a fire department was called to a home fire, and it was found that the fire had originated in a mattress. And when the news person at the scene of the fire asked the man who had been rescued from that mattress, what was the cause of the fire? And the man said, I don't know. It was on fire when I laid down on it. He actually said that. It was on fire. And how foolish can we get, right? To lie down on a burning mattress. Sometimes we do that. And using it as a metaphor now, lying down on a burning mattress might be the same as, you know, taking that first hit of heroin or, experimenting with various chemicals to make you feel good, including alcohol. Walk as fools, not as fools, but as wise, Paul said. And then he follows this up with another phrase. He said, making the best of the little time you have. Making the best of the time that you have. Paul's talking about here how to live wisely. And first he talks about not being foolish. Then he goes immediately into talking about time. Now, what is it that society's telling us about time? First of all, society on television and everywhere says, you don't have enough time. You've got to rush here, rush there. You can multitask and you can handle your life because, you know, you are tough and you can do it. And then turn around and you flip the channel and someone else is saying very calmly and deliberately, slow down, take it easy. The world will still be there later. Just take your time. Just take it easy. You know, both of those are foolish advice. Both of them are foolish advice. Don't rush and don't slow down, but deal with time honestly. We are finite creatures. One of the things that I loved about studying theology was I got to see some of the visions that these theologians had. And Reinhold Niebuhr was one of my favorites. He depicted the human life as if we were sitting on a fence. We're sitting on a fence that sits between the infinite and the finite. Now, we are of the finite. We only have so many days here on this earth, and that will be gone. But then we can look out, and what Niebuhr said was we can look out from our little fence, and we can see the infinite. We can perceive God. We can know that there is such a thing as eternal life. We can know that there is a power far greater than we can imagine. And so it becomes our job to get to know that creator, for the finite to get to know the infinite and to learn eternity. And of course, God gives us eternity in the person of whom? Jesus Christ. That was our children's sermon last week, in case you missed it. That God gives us eternity in the person of Jesus Christ, so that we are no longer just sitting on the fence. We are part of the infinite, even though we're still finite. Crazy. So what does that tell us about using our time? We want to use our time honestly and wisely to the glory of God. Think about the first question of the Shorter Catechism. You know, what is the main purpose of humanity? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what we want to use our time for. And think of it as a matter of stewardship. And if you do that, you'll begin to live boldly. I mean boldly, as a Christian. And yet with open eyes, being woke to what's going on around us. And Paul says, he adds this little caveat. He says, you know, live and make the best use of time because the days are evil. Does Paul mean that we're waking up every morning into an evil situation? No, he's telling us that evil waits. Just like Jesus told Peter, Satan waits at the door. And if you lean toward him, he's going to cause you to sin. There is evil waiting. Yet if we live boldly as Christians and with open eyes and aware hearts that have both understanding and discernment, then we thrive, we prosper. And of course, Paul, then his next words are, understand and discern the will of God. And what is God's will? What is God's overall will in the Bible? If you were to tie all of the books of the Bible together, God's will is to bring all things together in Christ. I think that Paul says that in another place in Ephesians, that God's will is to bring all things together in Christ. And God's goal is that we live our lives aligned with that will, that God would bring all things together in Christ. I read a story, a witness of a man who had been an atheist for all of his life. And when the light bulb finally went on, when the Holy Spirit finally showed him the grace of God in Jesus Christ, he said, I have so little time, so very little time in order to do the will of God, to tell everyone I know about Jesus Christ, because I don't want any of my friends to miss the opportunity. That's when we begin to be good stewards of our time, when we consider ourselves as citizens of eternity, not of this world, not finite any longer, but infinite in our very natures, because we are indwelt by the very Spirit of Almighty God right now. And Paul brings us right back to earth, though, in just a minute. He says, do not get drunk with wine. And all of us say, okay, that's kind of out of nowhere when we're talking about these ethereal things. But what he's saying is, don't substitute anything for the Spirit of God. If you're going to be filled with anything, if you want anything to bring you joy and happiness, you know, don't find it in a bottle, don't find it in a pill, find it in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And he says, exercise this, speaking with each other in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That sounds, it sounds like pie in the sky stuff. But it's not really. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to have a more positive outlook. You know, how many people, how many times have you read in the news lately, you know, that global warming is going to destroy the earth and human life as we know it, and we have sinned against the planet? And yeah, indeed we have. But we belong to an eternal God who created it all, and we got to know that somehow he's going to help us fix it. He's going to help us cope with the situation. In other words, we have a positive outlook. We have eternity looking at us with someone who loves us unconditionally. And that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit really characterizes our lives. Only through the Spirit, and I want to get back to this idea of wisdom, only with the power of the Holy Spirit can we tap into God's wisdom. You know, many of us are wise. There are people, I am always amazed, and you amaze me, folks. When I talk to you sometimes, I feel so privileged to serve a church of such intelligent people, a people of such capability and wisdom. I can't hold a candle to some of the things that you all have accomplished in your lives, and praise God for it. And I can't help but imagine that at least a small amount of that is because the Holy Spirit has allowed you to tap in to God's wisdom. You know, I talked to the children about wisdom having to do with a lot with your personal decisions. And we as adults, we come to know that sometimes We don't know what is the right decision. We come across something that it seems to be the, sometimes it's a lesser of two evils. I usually have that on election day. I don't know about you. I choose the lesser of two evils. Or it's two goods that you're not, just not sure which direction, you know, to take it. I hope we have an election, by the way, someday where it's the better of the two goods rather than the lesser of two evils. I'm praying for that to happen one of these days. But being able to tap into God's wisdom when we have these kind of decisions, you know, it seems like a trite thing to say, bring it to the Lord in prayer. But it's not trite. God will help you make the right decision, the wise decision. The Holy Spirit is alive in you. And the Lord and Jesus Christ is sitting alive at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us right now. We can't lose unless we ignore the Holy Spirit, unless we ignore our ties to God. We can't lose. We can't make a bad decision. Now, there are times when I've done this. I'm going off the charts right now with this idea, but it's actually happened to me. I have, you know, followed the Holy Spirit. I prayed about a decision. I made the decision. And then when I got knee-deep in it, I realized, I'm thinking to myself, are you sure? God, are you sure this is where I'm supposed to be? You know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, I'm following your direction here. But you know, it always works out for my betterment and for the betterment of whatever situation I enter. You got to trust God. Sometimes you just got to trust God. And all of this is followed by, I think, a joy. Well, not my thought. It's Paul's thought that joy and thanksgiving follow this pattern. When you tap into the very wisdom of God, when you walk not as fools but as wise in all the ways that Paul has outlined here, you become full of joy and thanksgiving because you know that God has guided you, God has blessed you, that love is active in you and through you in your life. Another thing that Robert Fulghum wrote in that particular book was, that book, It Was On Fire When I Lay On, he says, I and you, we are infinite now in God. And he was a Unitarian, not a Christian, a Unitarian. But he says, you're infinite in God. You are rich. You are large. You are contradictory to the world. And you are a living, breathing miracle. You are free human beings, children of God, in an everlasting universe. He said, that's what you're about, and that's what you do. And I said, again, he's a universalist. He doesn't understand that the power that God has given us through Christ in the Holy Spirit. Wisdom. I commend it to you. You don't have to pursue it. It's part of you in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul wants us to understand. And Paul is saying, enjoy it. Let it guide you. Let it bless you. And then come back to God with thanksgiving and joy because of it. And to him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you. You have given us your discerning heart, your wisdom in the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for those times when we go on our own and think that we've got this, we don't need you, we know what the wise path would be. Help us to make you a partner in our lives, that we may live each and every day in awe of our God. Each and every day in the positive knowledge that we are loved with an everlasting love, a powerful love that will not let sin or death take us away from you. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.